Well, I've actually been doing that since 1990. So, but I'll tell you what catalyzed that. When I was 17, which I don't quite remember what the year was, but in 1990, I was in my 20s. So earlier than that, I did a theater program between 11th and 12th grade. It was a summer theater program, and I had a very sad song solo in the performance. And at the end of the show, this boy that I knew who had been in another program at the same place came up to me and he said, "Oh my God, your song wrecked me. It just made me cry." And I was sitting with my mother, like, for you to be able to make me cry in front of my mother, that's a thing, you know, like, wow, power, you know, all power to you, right? And I had this epiphany in that moment that my purpose on this planet is to take people out of their regular, mundane, daily experience, the kind of humdrum, personality-driven space that we tend to live in, bring them into another experience, shuffle things around a bit so maybe they see something deeper about themselves, and then so they can return to their lives with a different perspective, more spaciousness, perhaps more permission for themselves to be who they are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Limitless Living Show with Chuck Anderson here. And, you know, this is the show where we like to showcase stories of personal transformation and overcoming limitation in hopes of inspiring you to overcome your limitations and facilitate your story of transformation and live a more joyful, more fulfilling, just happy life right now. And, you know, from time to time, we find ourselves with challenges that we need to overcome. And what's unique about my guests and I guess in common with all of my guests is that they have their story. Not only do they have their story, but on the tail end of that story, they're now engaged in work that helps others with, you know, write their story of transformation and overcoming limitations. And of course, today's guest is, absolutely aligned with that vision. So I have Marie Elizabeth Molly with me here today, and she has got an amazing story and does some amazing work, and you're just going to love her energy and just everything she has to say. So Marie Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. And I know we've been looking forward to this for several weeks now. So here we go. And, you know, quite simply, I don't like to take away any of the suspense or the part of the story. So I know part of it already, but I'm just going to simply start with what's your story and have you share that.
I love that. Thank you for the free rein.
Yeah.
So I would say the pivotal turning point that I wanted to talk about first is when I decided to get divorced in my mid 40s. I was married to a wonderful man, but there was a depth of connection, I would say at the soul level, that we could occasionally touch, but we couldn't live there. And the challenge I had was I had a lot of conditioning about you get married, you stay married, you know, especially if you're with a great person, right? Like I felt like I was broken and something was wrong with me because I wasn't 100% fulfilled or happy. And we did therapy, we did couples retreats, we did all the things. But ultimately, there was this depth of connection that was missing for me. And I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker physically until there was this turning point where I had a realization that it wasn't that I was broken, it's that I was unhappy in this particular relationship. And I had to come to terms with that truth, that it wasn't something wrong or bad about him. It wasn't something wrong or bad about me. It was just a misfit at that point in our relationship. And after my divorce, I really went into a deep study of relationships and sexuality. I wanted to figure out what makes me tick and why didn't it work? Because I've always had this super clear through line with my work, But relationships always had some element of not quite clicking in the same way. And through those 2 years of study, I met the love of my life. I became a relationship coach. I had been working in healthcare. I've been in the personal growth space for over 30 years. But I transitioned into relationship coaching, which I've focused on for the past 7 years. So that challenge and that moment led to a whole shift in my work life, which I have loved for the past 7 years. However, over the last year or so, I began to notice these glimmers of discontent and this feeling of, oh, this isn't totally aligned anymore. And I had to really sit with that because I love my work. So it was kind of similar to the divorce, but different, right? And what I've been doing over the past, I would say, 8 months, I've been incubating this new work that is releasing. I've already done a retreat related to the new work, but in terms of really being out publicly about it, I'm still in that. Like, next week is the announcement of this transition out of the relationship coaching space and into what I call activating the passion body. And what I've had to do over the past 9 or 8 or 9 months is bring myself into alignment with it by listening to the discontent, being willing to sit with it, notice what lights me up. And I noticed this thing about passion body coming through, and I actually spell it as one word, capital B, capital P and capital B, passion body as one word. And I can talk about what that is if you like, but it's been this inner listening and this willingness to be in the not knowing and the commitment to creating alignment for myself first that is now allowing me to come out with this work where I can help other women around midlife when they feel that discontent of their life no longer fitting right to align and find what's going to light them up for the next half of life.
Amazing story. And I love so much that, you know, it's so common in almost every interview that I have like this, where someone goes through their story of transformation. And then on the tail end of that, it's now serving others and helping them with their transformation as well. And, you know, that's how I became a coach. That's almost how every coach and program creator that I've ever talked to was inspired to do their program. And so I love that. One thing I want to ask, you know, in that story, at what point in your journey, I mean, obviously it's not an easy decision to make. And then as you're going through that, there's the ups and downs and everything that goes with that. At what point did you decide that, you know what, I have a bigger calling here in terms of, you know, in supporting others with their journey?
Well, I've actually been doing that since 1990. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll tell you what catalyzed that. When I was 17, which I don't quite remember what the year was, but in 1990, I was in my 20s. So earlier than that, mm-hmm. I did a theater program between 11th and 12th grade. It was a summer theater program. And I had a very sad song solo in the performance. And at the end of the show, this boy that I knew who had been in another program at the same place came up to me and he said, "Oh my God, your song wrecked me. It just made me cry." And I was sitting with my mother, like, for you to be able to make me cry in front of my mother, that's a thing, you know, like, wow, power, you know, all power to you, right? And I had this epiphany in that moment that my purpose on this planet is to take people out of their regular, mundane, daily experience, the kind of humdrum, personality-driven space that we tend to live in, bring them into another experience, shuffle things around a bit so maybe they see something deeper about themselves, and then so they can return to their lives with a different perspective, more spaciousness, perhaps more permission for themselves to be who they are, like this 17-year-old boy got to feel like he could express his emotion in front of his mother because it was so strong, you know. And I have done that through every iteration of my career since. So I ended up not going into the theater, but I became a massage therapist. And then I became an acupuncturist, an herbalist. And I worked with sound healing and color healing and all these different types of healing where somebody would come in, have an experience, and then return to their lives changed. And then I moved into coaching. And then I actually burned out on patient care in 2004 or so, and spent 10 years as a writer. And when I write poetry, I got my MFA in poetry and did all that and published. And a poem has the same power to bring you out of your daily experience, stop you, have you feel something, and then you go back to your life, hopefully with a broader perspective. And then when I transitioned back into coaching again with the relationship work, same thing. Someone comes in with an issue. I help them look at it in different ways, have perhaps a realization of something deeper around it, so that they can go back to their life with more space, with more clarity and liberation around the things that typically get them stuck. So I've been doing the same thing in different forms since 1990.
Yeah, and it's just taking different forms as you continue to go through your journey. And
exactly, as I grow.
Yeah, and in hearing you say that, I'm realizing that my journey, while we don't do the same work, my journey as a coach has taken different forms as well.
Really?
Just occurred to me now as you were saying that. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, we have a calling, maybe we have a life's purpose that is, you know, it's a constant evolution. It's not like flipping on a light switch. It's like, okay, here I am, and this is what I'm going to do. But there's always different iterations of the things that we do. I really love that thought. So I want to ask you in this journey, you know, what were some of the biggest takeaways that you learned, like life lessons that you learned that maybe can be helpful to others listening in?
Yeah, the first is really to approach your discontent, or if a symptom is arising in your body, say, like I was getting physically ill in my marriage, and I kept trying to fix that instead of listening to what it was trying to tell me. So my first tip is, if something is arising, whether it's emotional, physical, get curious about it. Don't immediately rush to assume that it's something bad or wrong. I mean, obviously, if it's an acute symptom, you need to get it treated. I'm not saying don't get your stuff treated. But what I'm saying is, when you start to feel off in some way, instead of going straight to fix it, get curious first. What is this trying to tell me? Where could this be coming from? Is this a part of myself that's trying to tell me something that I'm not hearing? Practice some journaling. Get curious in your journal. Hey, I'm feeling this weird discontent, unsettled feeling. What's that about? And give yourself some room to let something bubble up that maybe you haven't thought before, like a new thought, or even your discontent can talk to you. You could invite it into a conversation. I do a lot of parts work in my coaching because I have a clinical counseling background. So, you know, you can allow the parts of you that are wanting to speak to speak. So I suggest starting there, because that will then inform you of the next step. Like, do you actually have to change something on the outside, or is it an inner change that's being asked for? Maybe you're actually being asked to reduce caffeine because your anxiety is through the roof. Like, we don't know yet, right? But until you actually do that inner listening, it's really hard to know what the next step should be.
Mm, very, very powerful. And it's not automatic, I think, that when we're feeling something, whether it be, you know, a symptom of some sort, or just we like you say, feel off, you know, we don't automatically look for the connection of that to something or someone or some situation. And I really like this idea of just taking that moment to check in, just to really ask yourself some questions about, you know, those connections. And you know, one might assume that everything is related. And if that's true, then what is the relationship that's causing this feeling? Is that Is that along the lines of what you're saying?
Beautifully said. Yeah. And an example is popping into mind. So I practice one of the many tools in my toolbox is a technique called summit transformation. And it's a technique that helps to align the subconscious mind with your conscious goals. Because as we know, we can have all these goals and desires, but if our subconscious isn't on board with that, if it doesn't want to change, we won't change. So I do this technique with people. And last week I was doing a balance. The technique is called balancing. I was doing a balance with someone and she happened to have a headache before the session. And so we were actually doing a mind balance, but she started with this goal of, I want my head to not, you know, to feel better. I want my head to feel light and free, no pain. And it was fascinating to me because the mind balance takes you through all these roads of stuff that didn't seem related at all, but like permission to unplug from work and watch TV at night came up, and missing her husband who was out of town came up, and other stuff like that. And by the end of the session, we had worked through all these different balances. By the end of the session, her headache was gone. And we never addressed the headache directly in the session, is what I'm saying. We addressed all these other things that she hadn't made the connection with yet. And when she connected with these other things and balanced them, her headache went away. And the whole point is that our bodies are talking to us all the time, and they actually want good for us. Our bodies love us. I mean, it's weird to talk about us split from the body, but a lot of us live that way. We live up here in our heads, and this body is sort of this, you know, car that brings us to the office and brings us home, but we don't always attend to what's happening below the neck. And my point is, the more we learn to listen to ourselves and the wisdom that we have inside, our symptoms, again, acute symptoms have to be treated. Do not take what I'm saying as medical advice not to do anything. And we can learn from our symptoms what's actually happening emotionally and mentally, and then change things.
Amazing. So so I know you have the new program coming up, and I wanted to make sure we talk a little bit about, first of all, who it's for, and then a little bit about the program.
Great. So yes, this Passion Body work I offer through a monthly membership called the Passion Body Hub, where we have some, I do one of these brain training calls a month, and I also train and teach on the energetic of the month. I have a whole alchemical wheel for the year that aligns your activities with the energies of nature. And that exists, as well as women's retreats in Mexico at our home in Mexico, and private coaching. So that's basically what I'm doing. And then the who is women who are nearing or at midlife. Some women kind of hit this emotional space early in their 30s, but most women I notice tends to be over 40 into the early 50s, where the things we've been working so hard toward all of a sudden don't light us up anymore. They feel flat, or we're bored and we're wondering, what next? What now? I'm no longer fulfilled. And the other thing that could be happening is you perhaps have been living a life that others have prescribed for you, like your family has told you to want, or the culture has taught you to want. And you suddenly realize, oh, this isn't my life. Like, I'm living a life, but it's not totally right. It doesn't fit me. And at that moment, it's just like what I experienced myself as I began to develop this Passion Body work. That moment is a call from the soul. It's not a sign to blow up your marriage. It's not a sign to just quit your job. It's a sign to go deeper within, so that you can, from a deeper place than you've accessed before, choose what actually fits. Your marriage could be reinvigorated if you showed up, if that's what needs to happen, or your work could get reinvigorated because you've connected to your passion at a deeper level. Another description would be your inner compass. To me, it sits very close to the soul. So that's why I say it's a soul level calling. And at some point, we're called to deepen our relationship to that thing. And the mistake many of us make is we rush to change the outside and we don't do that inner peace. So I'm offering support for that inner peace so that the outside choices can be aligned with your truth now at this point in your life.
Amazing. Now, I know you have a free gift as well, and I want to make sure we mention that, because anyone listening in right now who's resonating with everything that you're saying or going, you know what, oh my gosh, this is me, I'm living my story right now and I really want my transformation, I really want things to be better or different or whatever, and you know, I think this is a really good step, especially to get into your world, learn a little bit more about how you can help and get access to some information that can be helpful to them right now. So can you tell everybody a little bit about what that is? And then what we'll do is we'll put the links beneath this video. If you're watching on video, if you're listening on a podcast, the links will be right there in the show notes of this episode as well.
Yeah. So what I have as a gift for your audience, it's called the Passion Body Passage Podcast, and it's for women, again, at or nearing or at midlife, who really want to deepen their relationship with the passion body. And it involves a quiz that shows you your passion body archetype. And the podcast, this 5-episode private podcast, goes more deeply into each archetype, the secrets you need to master. It talks a bit about the alchemical wheel of learning how to align your activities with the energies that are available to us in nature, so that we're not just push, push, push all the time, which is draining and not how nature works. I don't know why we decided we should work like that, but that's not how nature works. And so it's this podcast will really give you a great sense of what the passion body is, what your dominant archetype is, and then you can begin to construct your own blueprint for how you're going to express more passion, clarity, power, connection in your life.
Amazing. Well, I highly recommend that if you're listening in right now and you resonate with what we're talking about here today, just look right beneath this video. There's a link right there. You can go and connect and get access to the audio program on the podcast. And if you're listening on a podcast, just look into the player you're listening on. There's a link for you right there as well. So that is amazing. And thank you so much. This is, I just love stories like this. I love how the journey inspires the program and the work. And it just feels so aligned with, you know, what you're doing. So thank you so much. And I love the energy of it. And I wanted to make sure I ask you just before we sign off here, because it started off as a question that I asked all my guests, and now it's turned into a bit of a social experiment, because I have no idea what the answer is going to be. But I would like to know from you, if you could recommend just one go-to book or must-read book that has been inspirational for you or has made a big difference in your life and you want to recommend it to others, which one would you recommend?
I'm so glad you asked this, Chuck, because I love getting to share about this book, because it's not a widely known book. For those of you watching on the video, you can see the cover. It's a little out of focus, but it's called The Universe is a Green Dragon. And it's by this mathematical cosmologist named Brian Swim. And it's kind of a Socratic conversation between a teacher and a student, and really about the nature of the universe and how and what comes through is the universe is at its core love, and our relationship, and it's creative, and it's a beautiful ode in a sense to the love and creativity that's at the heart of the universe, and how we are to participate with that in creating our lives and what's happening. It just blew my mind open to so much more gratitude and love and appreciation for just the magic of life. And I highly, highly recommend this book. I reread it every few years. I've gifted hundreds of copies. I love it because it's kind of obscure. So I was so tickled when you asked that question. So thank you, Chuck.
Oh, I love the recommendation, and it's so intriguing. I'm going to have to go and check that out. And I don't think anybody else has answered with that book before. And that's part of the social experiment part of it, because when I first started asking the question, I thought I was going to hear all the same kind of books over and over again. And we do get some repeats, but I am amazed at how personal of a question that tends to be and how everyone has their favorite. And so thank you for sharing that. And not only just sharing that, but everything that you've shared here with us today. This has been amazing. And to my guests, I just want to say, I hope that you have found this inspirational. If you're still listening right now, something has resonated for you. And, you know, that might mean that there's something here for you. Take that next step, and, you know, it might be to go and check out that audio program on the podcast. Just click the link below this video and in the podcast show notes, and check that out. Continue your journey. And if you are inspired by anything here today, or you had a thought of maybe something, you know, an action step that might be the next step, you don't have to see the whole map in front of you, but just take the next step. And I highly encourage you to take that step today and keep moving forward. So thank you so much. And, you know, Marie Elizabeth, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And I just want to ask you, as we sign off, if you were to leave our audience with just one final piece of advice or words of wisdom, what would you leave them here with today?
Stay curious. Stay curious, because what happens in relationships, for example, is we start to feel like we know the person and we know what they're going to say. And then we stop interacting with them with those fresh eyes. And then we lose the opportunity to discover who they're becoming and who we're becoming. And the same thing with respect to work. Stay curious. Maybe you do have a job that's somewhat rote, but is there a way you can find something interesting in it by just keeping your curiosity open? I feel like curiosity is one of the most powerful and somewhat hidden sometimes means to having a rich and beautiful life, because you get to experience delight a lot more than if you think you always know what's going on.
I love that. Stay curious, everybody. Beautiful words to end this episode by. Thank you to our guest. Thank you to our audience for being here. And in the meantime, this has been the Limitless Living Show. And Chuck Anderson here, wishing you a story, your own personal story of transformation and overcoming limitations, so you can live a more joyful and fulfilling life now. And please join us for the next one. Please connect with our guest. All the links are below this episode. And we will see you again really soon. Thank you, everyone.